Absolute Power by Mark Taberner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird.
A splendid lunch. So startlingly innovative. Thank you, Archie.
Yes, yes, not at all.
Pleased that you enjoy it, sir.
Enormously, enormously. Who would have expected to find black pudding under that peach?
I certainly didn't.
Would you like anything to follow?
Just a small coffee, thank you.
Certainly, sir.
I don't normally eat in these places.
Well, you don't normally pay the bill either. Am I right in thinking this is your treat?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, the bill is the least of my worries. I'll blame it on Social Security scroungers.
Archie, this has all been very lovely, but you Downing Street advisers are always so busy. I take it this can't be just a social occasion.
No, it isn't, actually.
Yes, it's just that I asked myself, if I wanted a social occasion, would I have it with you? This has been lunch with Mr. Lou Gubrius. What's the matter?
Charles, I've worked at Number 10 for the best part of 5 years. I think it's fair to say I've been an ultra-loyalist.
Oh, ultra?
You've never heard me utter a word against the Prime Minister.
No, well, he does pay your salary, of course.
Charles, the Prime Minister is on the starship Swivel Eyes and bound for Planet Bonkers.
Is he? Good.
Clive, do sit down, old chap. Make yourself comfortable. And do by all means knock the coffee over, if that helps.
Sorry.
Now, you're the first graduate trainee we've had at Prentice McCabe, so let's face it, you're a prototype. We selected you, and we are just as responsible as you are. How do you feel it's going?
Extremely well.
Do you? Clive, we don't want to lose you.
Well, that's all right. I'm not leaving.
Well, let's not be premature about that. Look, Clive, business is about clients, yes?
Of course.
Now, clients are a pain in the neck. They're self-important, puffed up and clueless. Most of our clients shouldn't be let out on their own, but they pay the bills. We have rather decent offices in central London because of clients. We have sherry with elevenses, monnerochet with lunch, and several bottles of first growth claret to get us to tea time, thanks to clients. Am I making myself clear?
You want to discuss your drinking problem?
No, no. No, I want to discuss your work. Now, take this. An image relaunch for the Freemasons. I'm not disputing that you had some original ideas. I understand your thinking. It is at least arguable that it is easier to perform an unusual handshake if you have taken your clothes off first. I see the rationale. You have, as it were, shown your workings. The trouble is, you've shown theirs as well.
You don't like it?
Well, put it this way. On poster sites all over Britain, the effect would be loud in the extreme and not obviously compatible with the ethos of Freemasonry.
Well, I wanted something different.
But the client did not. I received a phone call this morning from the Grand Worshipful Donut, and to cut a long story short, there will be no handshake, unusual or otherwise, for Prentice McCabe. Now, look, if this were an isolated incident, I, at any rate, would put it down to youthful exuberance. I'd say, young Clive, splendid chap, lot to learn. But it isn't isolated, is it?
No, I suppose not.
No, the work you did for the Women's Institute has left us open to litigation of a particularly costly variety. Clive, I'm a pretty tolerant sort of chap, but Charles isn't. How can I sum up Charles Prentice in a word?
Megalomania, Charles.
Is it really that serious?
Yes, it is that serious. He's not content with being Prime Minister. He thinks he's leader of the free world, president of all right-thinking peoples, and Lord Chief Justice of the universe.
Well, don't sit on the fence, Archie.
Do you know what he said at Cabinet this morning? He said, I'm going to go on and on and on and on. Ring any bells?
Oh, my God, the thoughts of Maggie Thatch, no less.
Exactly. And if that isn't prima facie evidence of insanity, what is? Mind you, at least it upset Gordon, which I suppose is something.
Ah, poor dear Gordon, the only man in Downing Street more miserable than you are. I have delivered low inflation, low unemployment, low interest rates, and somebody's pinched my teddy bear.
Never mind that. Gordon is beside the point.
Yeah, that's why he's so upset.
Charles, I don't know what I'm asking you to do, but I'm asking you to do something.
Archie, when you hire Prentice McCabe, you leave the details to us. This is an official commission, I take it.
Well, yes.
Let me just get this straight, Charles. The commission, the task, is to poke one right up the Prime Minister.
Decorously put.
And to get him to pay for the privilege.
Quite. Our job is not unlike that of the slave who used to stand behind the emperor whispering, remember you are mortal.
On the grounds that he's forgotten.
Exactly.
The PM's become a counterfeit module, a double-meaning prophesier, a monstrous malefactor, a strange serpent.
Indeed so.
A disguised cheater A prating mountebank, a Lapland sorcerer, a measureless liar, a crooked pated old cuckoldy ram.
Martin?
Yes?
Where on earth did all that come from?
From the Marconi Image relaunch. I was supposed to spend this afternoon doing the Marconi relaunch, so I thought I'd start with the Book of Shakespearean Insults.
So, we fulfill our commission by sending anonymous letters to Downing Street saying, Dear Tone, you are the king of codpieces, love and kisses, a well-wisher.
We could do worse. You know, we'd better be careful not to go too far.
In what sense?
Well, we'd want to be turning on the radio in 6 months' time to hear BBC Radio 4 News at 7 o'clock, the Prime Minister, Mr. Ian Duncan Smith.
Oh, do that again.
No, I'm not going to.
It's my birthday. Well, it isn't, but I don't. Please do it again.
I don't want very well. Very well. The Prime Minister, Mr. Ian Duncan.
The Foreign Secretary, Charles Kennedy. But you see, Martin, that's the point, isn't it? That's why the Prime Ministerial ego has swelled to unmanageable dimensions. There isn't any effective opposition. There just isn't. Not the Tories, not the Lib Dems.
Martin, could I have a word?
Oh, Clive, industrial sabotage on legs.
It's about the Marconi Image relaunch.
Oh, come on, let's have a look, Clive.
No, let me look.
Charles, it's all right.
No, I insist, give it to me, young graduate trainee from Hades. Let's see, Marconi, because we're not phony baloney.
There's nothing wrong with quoting Andrew Motion.
Clive! You are a dull fool, a mannish youth, a base slave, an unpaved eunuch, and a prick-eared cur of Iceland.
He's doing his best, Charles.
I don't think Mr. Prentice likes me.
Don't worry about it. When I worked at Prentice McCabe, they sacked me every week for 2 years.
Yeah, but in my case, I think they mean it. They're always saying how much they miss you. It's never been the same since Sandy left. Can't find a damn thing now Sandy's gone.
Sandy!
Yeah?
Have you got any spare change on you? I seem to have left my money in the bank.
You must be the only bloke in Britain who thinks I'm a millionaire.
Sorry, I'll take you out to lunch.
Oh, all right.
Coffee coming up.
So what made you leave?
Oh, I just fancied a change, really.
Only I was a bit puzzled. I mean, you were there when I came for an interview, and then when I showed up for my first day, you were gone.
Yeah, well, I didn't much like the look of you, really.
Oh, thanks.
No, I just wanted to move on. Look, it's not that bad a place to work. Martin's all right when you get to know him.
Here we are.
So, why have you been giving Clive such a hard time?
I never give anyone a hard time, much too much effort.
Well, Mr. Prentice, then.
You see, the thing about Charles is he likes good habits. Early into the office, flat-out effort and conspicuous success. And I'm the antidote.
So what exactly should I do?
Try to be quietly competent. And if you can't manage that, just be quiet. Think of the royal family.
In what sense?
Well, as long as nobody notices them, they survive. Every time people do notice them, they think, what a ridiculous, anachronistic setup this is. Let's do something about it. As long as they just mosey along, doing the odd good work, keeping out of the limelight, they never quite rise to the top of anybody's agenda. That is the secret of survival, young Clive. Never quite rise to the top of anybody's agenda.
So, Clive should think of himself as Princess Anne?
Yes. It's like Peter O'Toole in those ghastly advertisements. You can be Princess Anne, my boy. You can.
Sometimes swift brutality is the best way, you know, Martin.
I think Clive should be given every chance. I mean, I think of myself. I spent years with senior managers muttering, we really ought to do something about bloody old Martin. But I kept my head down, they never quite got around to it. And every so often they'd shrug and say, let's promote him so he's somebody else's problem.
We're not promoting Clive.
No, I don't think we want him working on the Downing Street account just yet. How's that going, by the way?
Well, it isn't really. I mean, in the past, when we've been charged with giving a leading public figure what is technically termed a seeing to, a cursory rummage through the evidence has been sufficient. Some hideous secret comes to light, something the tabloids would love to get their teeth into. You have a quiet word with a chap, you buy him poached eggs at Claridge's.
Exactly, and you point meaningfully at the poached eggs and say, I rather think you'd better play ball.
Yes, you see, Martin, I have a rather painful confession to make. The thing is, I quite like the Prime Minister.
What?
He has backbone.
He's got several. He's got so many backbones, he can exhibit them at the Tate.
He needs our support.
Damn it, Charles, I'm actually looking forward to this. I'm getting one of my surges of enthusiasm. And you know what happens when I get one of my surges?
Yes, shares in dry cleaning companies go through the roof.
Operation Shaft. I'll bet you anything you like. That's Archie saying, how goes the shafting?
The urgent meeting required Archie. Yes, yes, well, it would seem you're right.
No problem. Tell him I'm on the case.
Charles.
Archie, everything is under control. Martin is having a surge.
Charles.
A range of shafting wheezes is being compiled even as we speak.
Charles.
I can only apologise if there's been some slight delay.
Charles, I've been having a word with Alistair.
Do you know, I thought you looked a little pale.
My previous statements are inoperative. I wish to issue a clarification. I now realise that I am privileged to work for the greatest Prime Minister who has ever been elected anywhere in the democratic world at any time, ever. I now appreciate that the question is not whether he is fit to lead this nation, but whether I am fit to serve a man with more human greatness than his little finger than 15 generations of my family put together and multiplied by a million.
I see. And this replaces the line, somebody ought to bring that vainglorious ass down a peg or several. Who does he think he is, Lorenzo the Magnificent or what, the Big Ponce?
Charles, you got me drunk and made me say those things.
I did not.
I know you didn't, but Alistair says you did, so you did. The thing is, Operation Shafting must stop. This is no time for shafting. This is a time to get behind the inspirational leadership.
Yes. Point taken, yes. You see, actually, I've just been saying precisely the same thing to Martin, and there's the problem.
How do you mean?
Well, let me tell you about Martin. Martin is extremely difficult to start. Jump leads in the buttocks are futile. If Martin is determined on a course of masterly inactivity, he cannot be shifted either by kind words or cattle prods. But a Martin, once started, acquires the momentum of Boris Johnson going down a butter mountain on a skateboard.
Excellent oysters, Martin. Now, I'm most fascinated that you've asked me to lunch.
Not at all, Barmy.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, sorry, that's what they call you behind your back. Sorry, remiss of me. It's a pleasure, Marmaduke.
The o'erweening ambition of the Prime Minister. It is quite right that great men should discuss the question.
Yes, it is. When do they get here?
Art. When the editor of the Daily Telegraph breaks bread with the senior partner, Apprentice McCabe, the great men may be said to have arrived. Let me ask you this. Are you sure of your facts? The PM is seriously planning to abolish the royal family and make himself president?
So the rumour, the very strong rumour, has it.
With or without an election?
It's a sort of third way. There'll be an election, only he'll be the only candidate.
Anything else, sir?
Just the bill, please.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you indeed. And thank you for the information received. Goodbye, Your Majesty. Hello, Mr. President.
And you're going to run it?
Run it? Oh, we're going to run it, all right. Pages 1 to 10. I don't mind telling you, these have been difficult times for the Telegraph. We're thought to be out of touch with the, what do you call it?
Zeitgeist?
We don't use German in the Telegraph, Martin. But I don't mind telling you a story like this. Oh.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Health bells, good grief.
Something the matter?
I'm just looking at the o'erweening bill.
Back to the grind.
Well, I'm terribly sorry about this. Frightfully embarrassing. I seem to have left my money in the Cayman Islands.
Have you seen this? Have you seen the bloody Telegraph?
Archie, do calm down.
Calm down? A reliable Downing Street source said the intention was to give the palace a big-time shafting. Calm down! Charles, people will think this leak came from me.
No, they won't. People have never heard of you.
The people who matter will think it was me. Number 10 will. How did they know?
Know what?
The options paper.
Archie, what options paper are you talking about?
What? Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
What options paper?
Charles, this is the most secret secret in the history of secret, secret, secrets. It is for your eyes only, with your eyes closed. There was a document, an options paper, nothing of significance.
Which is why it's so secret.
It was just a discussion document. You know, we might do this one day or not, sometime next time, possibly never. Look, it may have asked, in broad general terms, about the institutions that are relevant to a modern democracy, and those which are irrelevant.
Such as, for example, the royal family.
Only in the context of a globalised media-led society in which the concept of deference has become an anachronism.
Let me get this very straight. You are telling me there is a paper somewhere in Whitehall that actually considers the possibility that our lord and master might sweep away the palace and all its works and declare himself president?
Only after a referendum. Carefully managed referendum, of course, and only if overwhelming evidence suggested that the time was right.
Well, well, well. And who wrote this document?
It doesn't matter who wrote it.
You wrote it, didn't you?
I may have contributed to some extent.
Oh, poor dear Archie. What a life you must lead, bag carrier, pooper scooper and whipping boy.
You mean to tell me there is such a memo? But I was just guessing. And it exists. You are the weakest queen. Goodbye.
The trouble is, Martin, there's a problem. In order to calm things down a bit, somebody's cojones are going to have to go onto the barbecue.
Well, you know the way these things work. There'll be a leak inquiry, it will discover nothing, and a junior civil servant will be disciplined.
No, not on this occasion. Ask yourself this question. Would even the most incompetent government, well, this government, for example, would they let a junior civil servant get hold of a paper whose gist was, "Thy most gracious majesty, we humbly beseech thee to sling thine hook"? No, 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 Martin. Archie. Poor dear Archie is in line for the toasted testicles treatment on this one.
Well, it was nice knowing him.
It's one thing to display sang-froid, Martin, and quite another to be sans brains. If Archie goes, our Downing Street retainer goes. No, no, another way must be found.
Well, it is all my fault. I don't mind being sacked. In fact, I rather like it.
No, no, Martin, you're a senior partner. The world doesn't work that way. When a senior partner cocks something up, he's paid £1 million, and who is that absurd woman from the Institute of Directors?
Ridiculous Ruth Lee.
Yeah, ridiculous Ruth Lee pops up on the radio to say, you've got to pay world-class money for world-class performance. The fact that there's been a world-class cock-up having escaped her shimmering intellect. No, no, we must look further afield, but not much further. Clive must be sacked.
Clive? What's Clive got to do with it?
What has what Clive's got to do with it got to do with it? He fits the bill. In a fit of youthful and excessive zeal, he let slip this idea to the Daily Telegraph, who, mistaking it for a serious government proposal, ran it on their front page. As the government's principal and most respected advisers, Prentice McCabe, we may as well get a name check while we're about it, deplore and deeply regret this essentially trivial incident which was swiftly dealt with. He's no longer with this company, blah, 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 blah.
Charles, you're not really... You really are going to, aren't you?
Email Clive, see me to be sacked. Martin, do you feel like buying me a drink? Now, to the major problem. Thanks to your youthful high spirits, there is now an actual national debate about the monarchy going on. There's been an outburst of genuine democracy. Well, of course, that's the last thing this government wants. The government wishes to sustain the recent mood of national unity. In an ideal world, the government would like a perfect democracy in which nobody voted at all.
They do seem to have started something.
Half the country is saying, how dare you even whisper the possibility of doing away with our beloved monarchy? This is Blairism gone bananas.
Well, that's the reaction I expected.
Yes, but here's the thing. The other half of the country is saying, quite right. The whole thing's a ridiculous anachronism. We're not anybody else's subjects. Do away with all this bowing and scraping, and not before time.
It's a genuinely interesting argument.
Oh, for pity's sake, this government has devoted nearly 5 years to avoiding interesting arguments. The trouble is, once it's started, it's desperately difficult to stop. How do we turn this to Downing Street's advantage? How do we turn it to our advantage?
The first thing we must do,
yes,
is order another bottle.
Well, I rather think we've drunk them out of anything that's not actually poisonous.
And when they ask who the fool is in the corner crying, I'll say, little old wine drinker me.
What?
Just a song, Charles. Sorry, sorry. Irrelevant mental meandering.
A song? A song?
Charles, you've got that look like a man who's had a most embarrassing personal accident in a crowded shopping centre.
I'm sorry, gents, we're closing. Can I ask you to drink up, please?
Bring me a bottle of the most expensive first-growth claret on your list.
We're closing, sir.
You are talking to Prentice McCabe. If necessary, I'll buy your bloody wine bar.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Charles, if you don't mind.
No, 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 you carry on. On your way out, perhaps you'd like to phone Archie, fix a meeting for first thing. Give him my compliments and tell him that I have got it.
How the hell do you manage to look so fresh after a night like last night? What time did you get to bed?
Bed is for wimps. Now, I'll run through this again for your benefit. And for you, Archie, I'll do it slowly and with lots of monosyllables. There is a mood of national unity. However, there has been an inconvenient outbreak of democracy with me so far.
Yes.
The question is how to capitalise on that. Arguments about the future of the monarchy are divisive, difficult and uncertain.
I couldn't have put it better.
No. No, you couldn't, could you? On the other hand, a debate once started is difficult to stop. The Prime Minister must therefore make an announcement. He welcomes the spirit of debate, but he cherishes the sense of our unity. He has, of course, been misquoted, misrepresented, taken out of context, and it's all the media's fault. I trust I can leave all that to you.
Yes.
And at no time has he even contemplated abolishing the Queen. What is in his thoughts is the very different matter of abolishing God Save the Queen.
What?
Think of it, Martin. This is a modernizing government, but a consensus government. Is it not obvious to the broadest consensus that God Save the Queen is a bloody awful, out-of-date, cringe-making dirge whose only virtue is that it's not Flower of Scotland? And even that comparison might run to a fifth-set tiebreak.
It is embarrassing. I mean, the Welsh one is great. It's inspiring.
Indeed it is.
What follows from this, though?
Well, what follows is a national competition to find a new national anthem for a modern, undeferential democracy. Everybody can join in. Schools can run their own competitions. The celeb factor. Can you do better than Sir Paul McCartney? You see, it's got national unity because it's open to everybody, and it's got competition, and above all, it will be fun.
Yes.
Fun has a number of advantages. First, people, heaven knows, are due a bit of fun. Second, it takes voters' minds off anything important. Third, the Conservative Party doesn't do fun. The Conservatives will come out in favour of keeping God Save the Queen, thereby appearing out of touch, reactionary and backward-looking, just as they have for 10 years.
Charles, this is a wonderful idea.
Yes, of course it is.
It is jolly good, Charles.
Martin, is this or is this not the Wheezo de Tutti Wheezy? Incidentally, Archie, I shall be sending you an expenses claim for a wine bar I seem to have acquired in a fit of absent-mindedness.
I rather thought I was getting somewhere. Only I wasn't. I was getting sacked.
Look, it's not the end of the world.
No, it is the end of the world. Apart from anything else, what am I supposed to live on?
Oh, don't worry about that. They won't take you off the payroll. They're still paying me, as a matter of fact.
What?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was there, I was the only one who knew how to do the payroll. Mr. Prentice couldn't be bothered, and, well, Martin didn't understand it, so when I left, I just forgot to stop paying myself.
Sandy, that's theft. That's criminal.
So was what they were paying me. I thought I was owed more than that for being patronised by Charles Prentice.
Yeah, he does patronise you, doesn't he?
Oh, saintless Sandy, fair maiden of Billericay. I thought, I'll have you, sunshine. Listen, do you fancy some oysters and roast grouse?
You know, I had no idea the tune of God Save the Queen was used for so many other people's national anthems.
Oh, yes, well-known fact.
Well, it wasn't well-known to me. Oh, lieber Liechtenstein, oh, lieber Liechtenstein, oh, Liechtenstein. Now, that's what I call a pop lyric. That has a certain trenchant Dylan-esque poetry about it. Why didn't we just have that one?
Don't be silly, Martin. Whose idea was it that Prentice McCabe should run this song contest, by
Well, technically yours. A nice little earner for P. McSee, you said.
Yes, I know, but, oh, dear. The entries are currently occupying the next room, and the room next to that, and most of the staircase. The entire population seems to be joining in, and the standard, I mean, well, really and truly. I mean, listen to this one, for example. We are the sweetest spirits of the entire human race, but when we go to football, we punch people in the face.
Yeah, a certain kind of honesty.
Ah, what's that?
Oh. From Archie. First the Dome, then Wembley, then Pickett's Lock, now this. No congratulations this time, you pair of pillocks. This one is right up the annals of infamy. What a monumental lash-up. PM says, song contest, not a disaster, or else you have 24 hours.
But we're not going to get through sorting the entries in 24 hours.
We would if Sandy were here.
Yes, but she isn't.
We could beg her to come back, just for a day or so.
Charles, this was meant to be an exercise in raising the morale of the nation.
Yes, I know.
And what has it done? Has it raised morale? Has it hell? What it has done is to bring out the Morris dancers. Anything that brings out the Morris dancers has laughing stock written all over.
Yes, indeed, yes.
And why are we so miserable? I don't mean us, I mean the entire country. What is it about us? That song you sent me, all about us being losers and boozers, being useless at everything, and the thing about the English is that we all like being spanked.
Well, that was one of the stronger entries, actually.
Charles, sort this out. And sort it out big time. I don't want any suicidal ones that make Leonard Cohen sound like Rolf Harris. No losers and boozers. No, we're all bending over here. And definitely no Morris dancers.
Yes. Whatever you say, Sandy.
And full reinstatement with compensation?
I'm only too delighted.
Why,
Sandy! Saintly Sandy, fair maiden of Billericay, how the dickens are you?
So, no change there, then. Mr. McCabe has agreed to our terms, and we're on triple time.
Triple?
With a profit bonus and share options.
What?
Or else we won't bother.
Right. Yes.
Hello, Charles.
I think you've met my fiancé.
Fiancé?
It was the oysters that did it. He's reinstated.
Martin agreed to that, too, did he? What an agreeable soul you are, Martin.
We've got no choice, Charles. Look at the state of this place.
Yeah, exactly. Look at it. Well, come on, let's get going.
How's it going, troops?
Well, we're all terribly sorry you couldn't join us, Martin. We've only been slaving our guts out.
Oh, I could hardly expect you to miss lunch, could I? I've been to the Groucho Club.
Oh, good.
Well, it's not my sort of place at all, of course. Some very doubtful types, but it did give me a chance to think.
There's no time for hymns to your cleverness, thank you.
Oh, I think it probably is. Sandy, do you think you can rustle up some coffee?
Just like old times. Yeah, all right.
Charles, supposing God Save the Queen were to be one of the finalists?
Well, the idea was to find a replacement.
Yes, but it's only fair the incumbent should be allowed to be a candidate, surely.
Oh, yes, but it's so dull.
Not the new arrangement by Elton John as performed by Posh Spice, with whom I have just had lunch at the Groucho.
Ah.
Oh, and some new words, which I happen to have dashed off.
No need for argument. We're really quite content. We don't want you as president. God Save the Queen.
What do you think?
Might work. It just might. And it's either this or perverts hitting themselves with handkerchiefs.
Oh, the Prime Minister said the whole exercise had been a thoroughly worthwhile demonstration of democracy. It had been fun. Everyone had joined in, and the song contest had revealed the great diversity of our national life. Some of the finalists had been particularly diverse.
But in the end, the nation had opted for a new updated version of God Save the Queen. The Deputy Prime Minister, John Prescott, said this was a classic demonstration of traditional values in a modern setting, and if anybody said otherwise, he'd slap him round the face.
This has just come.
Ah, here we are. Well done, an outstanding piece of work. One was greatly cheered, and certain people have been put in their place, which one finds most gratifying. Her Majesty...
What? Let me see that. Well, 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 Charles, you realise what this means? By royal appointment, Prentice McCabe?
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird, with Tony Gardner, Siobhan Hayes, Tom George and David Timpson. The music was by Matthew Scott. The producer was Dawn Ellis.